Elk and Elk, serious lawyers for serious injuries. Call 1-800-ELK-OHIO. Elk and Elk, proud sponsor of the Cleveland Browns. GFB, go Browns.
GFB.
Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Dog Bowl in Berea. Final half hour. We want to hear from you. Any thoughts you have? Lot. We've got Rod. We had Rod Woodson on today. We had the Crow in studio. Lots to get to. Two fine members of our U.S. military armed forces were in studio today. So a lot to cover, a lot of ground to cover as the Browns return to work here on this Tuesday. So 216-578-0850. That's the way to get on board with us. But time now to bring in our producer, Matt Fontana, to play a little after further review.
After further review.
Afternoon, gentlemen. Question number one. What will be the Browns' final record over the last seven games?
It's a great question. I asked Larry from
7-0
from Texas, and I said, I believe 4-3 is most realistic. And I think, but also too, is if they continue to play the way we saw them play Thursday night on the road at Cincinnati against the division rival, they could be finished 5-2.
I think it's going to be 4-3 as well. Get you right there to 10-6 when it's all said and done. I think the key for the Browns is obviously you got to win this game Sunday against the Houston Texans, and then you want to split one of those next two on the road, and that gives you an opportunity to get where you were talking about, 5-2, or to go ahead and get, you know, listen, get crazy. But even in a worst-case scenario, if you get to that point at 8-4, 2-2 over the final four, which is going to be a tough final month.
Sure.
Indy, Cincy at home, and then Carolina, Baltimore on the road gives you an opportunity to get into the playoffs 10-6, no question.
After further review.
Question number two, taking a look at the final seven games on the schedule, which one's the toughest for the Browns? We've got Houston, Atlanta, Buffalo, Indianapolis, Cincinnati, Carolina, and Baltimore.
In my eyes, it's going to be at Baltimore. I think that's the game because it's going to be a division opponent, an opponent we know very well, a rivalry type of feel. And again, it'll be an end cap. It could essentially make or break our playoff opportunity.
I'm going to maybe give an answer that I think could surprise some people. I think at Buffalo is going to be the toughest game for us. They probably have the best defensive front we're going to face all year. They're going to be very effective at stopping the run. The weather could be sloppy there in Buffalo. Could make it tough to throw the football around a little bit. I think that's going to be a challenging game because it's going to be such a big game for so many reasons. Could have wild card implications. It's a game that, you know, you're going to want to get before you come back home and take on the Colts and the Bengals back to back. But I think just styles make the fights. I think defensively they match up well with us. I think they know the Mike Pettine defense very, very well, obviously. And Jim O'Neill, given that they were just on that Buffalo staff a year ago, the weather is going to be brutal. I think that's one of those games that could be tough because, again, it matters not only for this year, it matters for next year, too. And it's a game the Browns really are going to want to have because it's going to help them with that draft pick they have for the Bills. That one, to me, right now, as I look in the near future, is the toughest game on schedule. I actually think we match up very well with the Colts.
After further review...
How many teams in the AFC North will make the playoffs?
I think it actually might be one. Surprising as you might seem, I think the way this season finishes, Pittsburgh is so up and down. I think Cincinnati, we saw the real Cincinnati, and I think Baltimore will fizzle as well. So I think the Cleveland Browns will be the sole representative from the AFC North, even though, to your surprise, Nathan, that four teams all sit at 600 or better in the division.
I'm going to go with two teams from the AFC North. I think they will get one of the wild cards. I think the other wild card is going to come out of the AFC West. I think that Miami is going to fizzle out. I don't think Buffalo's got the legs for it. They have a tough schedule coming up. You're only going to get one team out of the AFC South, so I think it's going to be two from the AFC North, and then Denver along with either Kansas City or San Diego from the AFC West. So I think the East will get one, the South will get one. I think it'll be New England, Indianapolis, two from the North, two from the West.
After further review...
Are the Arizona Cardinals still Super Bowl contenders without Carson Palmer?
I'm going to say yes, I do. I think they hang their hat and their laurels on that defense and a run game. And as we've seen, they are 8-1 right now, and they didn't get to 8-1, you know, by themselves or with Carson Palmer through all nine games. So they've had Staten step in before, and I believe that they have a great coach, another coach who's probably up for Coach of the Year along with Coach Mike Pettine. And I believe that they're going to stay in the hunt, and they will contend because they will win their division.
I think that they're in the hunt, but I think to make a playoff run with Drew Stanton is going to be difficult. I don't think they're Super Bowl contenders. Their defense is great, only 170 points allowed this year, second fewest in the league behind only the Kansas City Chiefs. I think they're a very good team. Listen, they're 6-0 in the conference. That's the best, obviously, in the NFC. They're undefeated in the division so far. They're 5-0 at home, 3-1 on the road. They've been playing great, but I think it's a team that maybe just has peaked a little bit too early. I don't know that Andre Ellington's going to be able to survive the season. Not a big back, and if they lose him, I think that'll take a lot out of their offense. I just don't see it. Now, they won and were effective with Stanton before when Palmer missed some time with the nerve damage, but I think to make a Super Bowl run, I don't know. I like Philadelphia quite a bit. I think Detroit's going to surprise some people. Green Bay, a very solid team. And then I think if you get them into a playoff situation, Seattle and San Francisco are still going to be tough outs. It's a strong NFC conference this year, so I don't see them getting out of it.
After further review.
Final one, guys. At the NFL's midpoint in the season, who are your two Super Bowl picks?
At the midseason point, I am going to go with the Green Bay Packers and the New England Patriots.
I'm going to go with the Denver Broncos, who I believe are by far the best team in the NFL, even though New England put a shellacking to them the last time they faced each other. I think Denver's the best team in the NFL and will represent the AFC again this year. Now, will Peyton Manning be able to win one? I don't know that. New England, certainly a close second for me in the AFC. I think the NFC Super Bowl team is going to be the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't know why there's something about that squad, even with the Sanchez. Is that even possible to say out loud?
I don't know.
They impress me. I feel like they can beat you in so many ways. I loved when I was scouting that kid, Jordan Matthews, out of Vanderbilt. He's becoming
he's faster,
more athletic Marcus Colston, working out of the slot with a size mismatch. He's been great. Macklin's played at a great level. They still haven't even really gotten anything out of LeSean McCoy to the level that you would expect, and yet they still put up 279 points this season. I like that Philadelphia team a lot. I think they're very strong. They're going to be a tough place team to beat if you have to go in there. So that's going to be my representative. But I do like when Green Bay's good. Green Bay's good. What did you think about the move to move Clay Matthews to inside linebacker?
I like it. And you know what? As I actually ran into Paul Kruger's brothers at the gym this morning, and one of which spent some time in
Pump you up.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. And a couple of them, one of his other brother who spent time both in Philadelphia, actually was on the practice squad in Green Bay. And I talked about that, the Dom Capers system. There's no rhyme. There's no reason to Dom Capers' system. It's actually sort of like Mike Pettine's defense when you look at it. They play a ton of fronts. They move bodies around. And I like it. I do. And I think for the most part is because you got Julius Peppers to anchor one side, who's going to be pass rushing from one edge. And I think you allow Clay Matthews, who's a heck of an athlete, an opportunity to roam across the middle. And he has a true understanding because he's up and moving around so often in that defense that it was an easy transition for him. Just some of the drops and coverage stuff and some of those fine points that comes up in a football game is what he had to be taught on a short week.
Well, yeah, they kind of felt like their best talent was all at the outside linebacker position, and they thought that if they were able to move him inside, that it would actually give them their four best linebackers on the field, even though three of them technically are outside backers. So I thought that was a smart move. Obviously paid dividends against Chicago Bears right out of the gate.
Chicago was surprisingly bad.
So bad.
Yeah.
Was that kind of the biggest surprise to you from this weekend?
It was.
How bad Chicago was coming off a bye?
That, and I think also, too, the other surprise is the team that catapulted us into first place, the Pittsburgh Steelers, laying an egg. I think we still don't know who they are, which is why they're part of the reason why I don't believe a second team in the AFC North will get into the playoffs.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a wild week in the NFL. Obviously, a great game down with the 49ers and the New Orleans Saints. That was a good one that came down to the wire. Did you get to watch any of that game? Did you see how that game unfolded?
I did not.
Oh, man. Fourth down, Colin Kaepernick ran right and basically heaved it as far as he could back across the field to the left to Crabtree to set up a game-tying field goal. To set up a game-tying field goal. It goes to overtime. And then before it went to overtime, they threw a Hail Mary to Jimmy Graham, who pushed off a little bit and caught it, and they called offensive pass interference.
I saw that highlight.
So it went to overtime.
I saw the highlight.
Yeah, that was a good game. Cowboys bounced back nicely, 31-17 as we go around the league. The Detroit Lions, 20-16, their defense continues to impress me.
They are, and I think a lot of it is because they're unchanged. You know, so many teams don't have a lot of turnover. Yes, the coaching staff has changed, but I think that the players on that team are the same. They play together, and they're just motivated. They're, I think, to me, probably the most aggressive 4-3 defense in the National Football League.
They certainly are an aggressive defense, and it's fun to watch. When you have a guy like Ndamukong wreaking havoc at the front of your defense, it certainly goes a long way. And, yes, he will be a free agent at the end of this year.
We talked about draft picks and building strategically with free agents for the future.
He could be a nice strategic free agent, although that's a big ticket item. There's no question about that. So you'd have to get a lot out of him for it to be worth it. But could be the case. We'll see. How about, by the way, Marshawn Lynch, 140 yards, 4 touchdowns running the ball. The Seattle Seahawks in that game ran all over the Giants. What does that even do to a team when you give up over 500 yards and you give up the most rushing yards in a franchise's history, which is what the Giants did in that one, as they gave up running the football, 350 yards and 5 touchdowns to the Seahawks. Is that like a season ender? Does the team rebound from that?
No, it does not. It does not. I think so many guys right now in a New York Giants uniform are already planning where they're going to go for the offseason. They're making their appointments. They're booking their flights. So the boxes are being packed to move back to Florida or Texas or California, wherever they're from. It's just, and again, how do you resell a football team or motivate a football team after that kind of performance?
That was a rough one there. All right, when we come back, we're going to give our final thoughts here on this Back to Work Tuesday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. If you last time to get your comments, calls, questions in, 216-578-0850. So dial us up. We'll wrap things up right after this.